Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, August 6th. Conditions remain perfect for wildfires on the western slope, with gusty winds, high temperatures, and very little rain. Smoke was visible and occasional ashes were flying in Paonia on Saturday evening. It had cleared out by Sunday morning, but there is still a danger of hazardous air conditions. Here is the latest on two wildfires in the area, according to the most recent press release to KVNF from the Bureau of Land Management. As of Saturday afternoon, the Bull Draw Fire, 12 miles northeast of Nucla, was burning 4,253 acres, with 35% containment. 75 firefighters battled the blaze with air support. Fire crews continue to secure a containment line along the east flank of the fire. Additional air resources were utilized in efforts to slow the spread of the fire further north. And the Buttermilk Fire, 15 miles northeast of Montrose, was burning on 746 acres with 25% containment. 60 firefighters were working that fire as of Saturday afternoon. Other fires across the western slope are affecting overall air quality and smoke in the area. Smoke from these fires may be visible from various locations in San Miguel, Delta, and Montrose counties. The Trump administration's decision to repeal clean air standards, which could lead to drivers paying more at the gas pump, is meeting with opposition from consumer groups in Colorado and throughout the country. Eric Galatis has more.
On Thursday, the Environmental Protection Agency announced it was rolling back fuel economy rules put in place during the Obama administration. The proposal would lower tailpipe emission standards and require new cars and light trucks to get 37 miles per gallon by the year 2025, down from 54 miles per gallon under the previous rule. Danny Katz with the Colorado Public Interest Research Group says the move will ultimately hurt Coloradans at the gas pump.
It drives up the cost of driving, and we've seen the positive impact that these clean car standards have had. Coloradans have saved an estimated $550 million at the pump since these standards have been put in place.
The Obama-era standards, adopted in 2012, are projected to cut as much carbon pollution as over 130 coal-fired power plants and save drivers more than $1,600 per vehicle. Now, the EPA says the standards were set too high for manufacturers and claims higher costs for more efficient vehicles would lead people to keep older, less safe cars on the road longer. There's a 60-day public comment period for the proposed change. The EPA's own scientists, along with outside experts, have debunked the Trump administration's safety and cost projections. EPA scientists also say higher standards are achievable and would benefit public health. Anna Seitz on the Westminster City Council adds local government efforts to improve air quality by offering free electric charging stations, for example, work better when done in tandem with federal policy.
American innovation is something that I'm really proud of, and I think that's a shared value probably that most of us have. And when we send the right signals to the market and to the engineers, it's amazing what can be accomplished.
The new proposal would also stop California and other states from setting higher efficiency standards than the federal government. In June, Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper signed an executive order committing the state to adopt lower emission standards that would cut carbon pollution by 26% by the year 2025. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
The U.S. Geological Survey keeps track of how much water flows through rivers and streams across the country to help plan for shortages, or, at the other extreme, brace for floods. But there are more waterways than the agency is able to track. So recently, they added new tools that will not only help them cover more ground, but also help them learn more about this precious resource, all without ever touching a drop. Franny Halperin from H2O Radio has part one of this story.
Did you go river rafting this summer? If you did, maybe you wondered how the outfitters knew it was safe to be on the water and whether you were in for a wild ride. Well, before professional operators decide to get on a river, they check how much water is in the channel and how fast it's moving. They do that by using data from stream gauges, mechanical devices that measure water levels and flow rates. There are about 8,000 of these gauges scattered around the country, and we're standing next to one a few miles west of Canyon City, Colorado, along the Arkansas River. This particular gauge, which looks a little bit like a small grain silo, is super important to outfitters because it's just upstream of the Royal Gorge, rafting terrain not for the faint of heart, with steep drops through a canyon and Class 5 rapids.
I've never been, but I've been told that it gets quite narrow and extremely fast.
That's John Fulton from the U.S. Geological Survey. His agency monitors these gauges, and he says they still work pretty well, given that the first one was established some 130 years ago near the town of Embuto, New Mexico, where it records flows on the Rio Grande. So who uses this information besides rafters and kayakers?
Much of the information we collect is used by cooperators such as the National Weather Service for flood forecasting, the U.S. Corps of Engineers for some of their reservoir operations, and the Bureau of Reclamation's reservoir operations. It's used by the Forest Service for forest hydrology.
The gauges provide valuable insights that range from helping utilities plan to warning of a potential dangerous flood. But to get other information, like, say, temperature or the amount of particulates in a river, USGS scientists have to get in the water or use boats to collect data. That's not only labor-intensive, but it also only provides data for one fixed location, leaving many remote places unmapped. Also, it can be a bit risky to wade into fast-moving water.
A lot of our scientists and hydrologists and hydrotechnicians really risk themselves under certain conditions by getting data that's being used by other agencies.
So about 2 years ago, USGS started looking for other ways to collect data. That's the sound of what Fulton fondly calls his QCAM. It's an unmanned aerial system, or what the rest of us would call a drone or a quadcopter. However, this one has a very special payload that's being tested today. While your drone might have a GoPro camera, this one's got Doppler radar attached.
So this radar, it is the only one on the planet right now that is capable of collecting these velocity measurements in this kind of a platform. And we will hover over the channel, the surface water, and we'll collect velocity data.
The drone will run a zigzag pattern over the river and send back data that Fulton can then compare to what was collected by the stream gauge, all without anyone dipping a toe in the water. For H2O Radio, I'm Franny Halperin.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, August 6th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.